Do we have any idea of why the mining machinery's broken down?
No. Telemetry's out, along with the comm systems. The slightly good news is that at least the elevator's still working, for the moment.
So that even if it gets us down to the city, there's no guarantee it'll still be working when we want to come back up.
You got it.
Marvelous. All right. We go ahead with the mission as planned. Unlike the first team, we've got battle espers and S-blockers on our side. Hopefully, one or the other will protect us from the city's influence. If not, we get to find out just how tough we really are. Get the Marines moving, Investigator. Time is not on our side. The trip down in the elevator turned out to be something of an anticlimax. It was crowded, hot and stuffy, and distinctly claustrophobic, but since everyone was busy considering the horrors to come, nobody really noticed. With the comm systems out, there was no point in waiting for the Marines all clear, so Silence and the Investigator accompanied the first batch of espers down, and hoped for the best. The city itself seemed quiet and peaceful, but Silence couldn't help thinking of it as the quiet of the graveyard. The Marines had already set up a perimeter, with bright lights pushing back the darkness in all directions. They carried their guns at the ready, and looked more than willing to use them at the first opportunity. Frost hummed something cheerful as she set off to inspect the perimeter, and Silence moved the espers off to one side. For the moment, he had all three of his S-blockers working, hoping their field would be strong enough to protect the entire team. But just in case, he briefed the espers on maintaining a full psionic screen should it prove necessary. They agreed easily enough, their eyes elsewhere. Silence couldn't blame them. It was all he could do to keep from turning round to stare out into the darkness. Anything could be out there. Anything at all. The Wampir waited patiently for orders. Stelmach was too busy looking around with an open mouth. Apparently, seeing the city on a view screen was quite a different thing from seeing it up close and personal. He caught Silence looking at him and closed his mouth with a snap. He barked out orders, and the Wampir moved unhurriedly to take up a formation around him. Whatever else happened, Stelmach was clearly determined on surviving to tell everyone else about it. Silence smiled crookedly. It wasn't a bad idea, surrounding yourself with a wall of Wampir. He just wished he'd thought of it first. Frost came back from the perimeter, and he put on his best cool, calm, and confident look, though he didn't know why he bothered. It had never fooled her before. She nodded casually and moved in close, her voice little more than a murmur.
Perimeter's secure for the moment. Nothing on the motion trackers, but the long-range sensors are malfunctioning. We have to consider the possibility that all our tech could fall foul to the city's influence. No guns, no force shields, no anything. We could end up going one-on-one with the sleepers, armed only with our swords and bad intentions. I'm not even going to think about the rebreathers breaking down. Of course, there's always the Wampir. They're pretty deadly in themselves, and their strength and speed aren't reliant on tech. Maybe our superiors did know what they were doing when they insisted we include the Wampir on our team. How are the espers holding up?
Hard to tell. They're acting pretty spacey, but that's hardly unusual with battle espers. I'm relying on the S-blockers to protect them and us for the moment. Let's get the troops moving, Investigator. The less time we spend down here, the better.
Spoil sport. You never want to do anything fun.
The Marines took the point, guns at the ready, lights blazing on their helmets. The cameras on their shoulders were still working, even though they couldn't transmit live to the Dauntless. The only way a record of this expedition would survive would be if someone returned to the surface with it. Frost moved with the Marines, eyes alight, just waiting for some enemy stupid enough to start something. Silence came next with the espers, if only because he wanted to keep an eye on them. They ignored their surroundings and trudged along with their heads hanging. Whether this was due to the oppressive nature of the city or the numbing effects of the S-blockers was unclear. Stelmach and his Wampir brought up the rear. The city didn't seem to bother the Wampir at all. But presumably, when you've already been killed and brought back, there's not much left that can upset you. Two of them were carrying a large piece of equipment that Silence hadn't been briefed on. When he'd inquired, he'd received a cold stare and was told he didn't need to know. Apparently, it was some secret weapon for Stelmach to try out if he got the opportunity. Just another secret Silence wasn't party to. He smiled briefly. Damn thing probably wasn't working anymore anyway. They moved on into the city, and things got worse.
The buildings and other less obvious constructions pressed in around them, intimidatingly huge and claustrophobically close. Sometimes enigmatic projections stretched out to block the way, and then they had to be stooped under or climbed over. The surfaces felt slick and unhealthy to the touch. The moving lights hid as much in shadows as they revealed, for which Silence, for one, was grateful. What he could see was disturbing enough. The city was a nightmare of steel and flesh, an unnatural combination of breathing metals and silver-wired meat. Rounded cylinders pulsed like gleaming intestines, and pumps beat like hearts with great shifting valves. Things that might once have been living creatures had been made parts of functioning machines. They were complex devices with eyes and entrails and long metal limbs tapering away to nothing. Things moved and settled for no reason, and swiveled slowly to follow the contact team as they passed. They were great slow machines that looked as though they'd been grown as much as made, and small metal scuttling things with bright pinpoint eyes that kept to the shadows. So far, the Marines had resisted the temptation to fire at them, but their patience was getting strained. An almost palpable oppression had settled over the party like a dark cloud. Everyone could feel the pressure of watching eyes and something listening to every sound they made. And everywhere it was all slick and smooth and functioning, as though the makers and operators had just stepped out a second ago and might return at any moment. Silence moved up to walk alongside Frost. Remind you of anything?
Yeah. The alien ship and the base it transformed done on Sealy. Biomechanics. A cross between living organic matter and functioning technology. Far beyond anything we've ever achieved.
Could there be a connection between the Unseelie alien and whatever built this city?
It's possible. But the alien ship crash-landed on Unseelie very recently. And these ruins are old. According to the Dauntless's sensors, before they started acting strangely, this city has been down here longer than the human race has been civilized. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Things got worse as they descended slowly toward the vault. The weird constructions closed in around them, enigmatic and disturbing, till the team was forced to walk in single file. The crowding shapes and structures hinted at meaning and function, but never enough to make any sense. The angles and dimensions were wrong somehow, as though they added up to more than was visible with the naked eye. The Marines became twitchy and quarrelsome. Some fired their guns out into the darkness, then couldn't or wouldn't say why. Their personal force shield stopped working for no apparent reason. Silence tried turning the S-blockers off to see if the Espers could protect the team better, but they immediately became so hysterical he had to turn the S-blockers back on to keep them from going insane. Even the Wampir were affected. They stuck close together, their dead faces cold and intent. Stelmach looked like a bag of nerves, all wide eyes and trembling mouth. Silence had a growing ache between his shoulder blades from tense muscles, and it seemed to him that his thoughts weren't as clear as they had been. He sometimes lost track of what he was thinking and had to concentrate hard to recover it. Even Frost had stopped her cheerful humming. They'd been walking just over 3/4 of an hour and were deep in the guts of the alien city when they lost their first man. A trap door opened up beneath the feet of the leading Marine, and as suddenly as that, he was gone. He just had time to start a scream, and then he disappeared into the darkness beneath the floor. Silence and Frost pushed their way forward and stood at the edges of the gap. They could hear the Marine's scream fading away to nothing, long after they lost sight of the light blinking on his helmet. The Marines clustered around the gap in the floor, shining their lights down, but the light didn't travel far, and the blackness showed them nothing at all.
Any idea how deep that is? Could we lower a line and go after him?
The sensors are out. Nothing on the motion trackers. It could be bottomless for all we know.
Move on.
Silence straightened up. A Marine glared at him.
We don't leave our people behind, Captain!
You do this time. We've no way of getting to him in the unlikely event that he is still alive. We're probably going to lose more men before we get out of here. Get used to the idea. Now move! Since you're so eager, you can take the point.
The Marine glared at him for a long moment, as though he was going to say something, and then he turned away and started off down the narrow corridor. Silence waved for the Marines to follow after him.
Everyone stay close together and keep your eyes open. No telling what other booby traps there are here.
He looked across the gap at Frost. Are any of our instruments in good enough shape to spot things like this in advance?
Not really. The city confuses them. It's too different. Too alien.
The team moved on, jumping the gap where necessary, taking things a little more slowly now. They were all remembering what had happened to the first team. There hadn't been any booby traps then. It was as though the city was learning how to defend itself from intruders. Traps struck at them from all sides, sudden and unexpected. Pointed metal spikes shot out of a wall and skewered a passing marine. He hung from the spikes like a butterfly on a pin, and then the spikes retreated into the wall and let his body drop to the floor. The metal made soft sucking noises as they left the marine's body. Sinister sounds in the eerie quiet. The contact team pressed cautiously on, leaving the body where it lay. They'd retrieve it on the way back, if all went well. There were sudden bursts of heat and cold, both extreme enough to sear and burn exposed flesh. Once, a howling followed them down the narrow way, shrieking in their ears, and then the sound sunk to a tone so low, it shuddered in their bones. It did them no harm, so they ignored it. Compartments opened in the walls, full of mystery and strangeness, the sliding panels opening and slamming shut like snapping mouths. Gravity fluctuated from near free fall to a crushing weight that made every move an effort. One of the espers suddenly stopped in his tracks and started giggling. He laughed and laughed his sanity away until one of the Marines took pity on him and shot him in the head. The contact team pressed on. An hour had passed, and they had lost 7 Marines, 1 Esper, and 1 Wampir who hadn't looked where he was walking. Silence looked at Frost. Are you sure this city is deserted? The investigator shrugged.
As far as our instruments on the ship could tell, there were no life signs anywhere on the planet. Or at least, nothing they recognized as life. And of course, they couldn't penetrate the vaults. Perhaps the city itself is alive.
And hungry.
Not necessarily. It's never wise to impute human motives to an alien consciousness. These incidents might be its way of trying to contact us.
Then I hate to think what it's trying to say. Though I think we can safely assume it's not at all friendly.
It could be a warning, telling us to go back before we come to the vault and what waits within it.
You're just full of cheerful information, aren't you? Silence looked back at the team trailing away behind him.
Stelmach, get your Wampir up here. I want them leading the way now that we're getting closer to the vault.
Why?
Well, firstly, because they're much harder to kill, and secondly, because I'm the captain and I said so. Do it!
Their reaction speeds are superior to ours, and they can take much more punishment, but they're worth far too much to expose them to unnecessary risks.
Stelmach, they are going to the front. One more word from you and you can lead the way. Got it?
The security officer considered the question a moment, and then nodded reluctantly. The team moved slowly on, the Wampir in the lead. The Marines muttered among themselves, not sure whether to feel relieved or insulted. The city moved slowly past them, dark and glittering, and possibly aware. And finally, after 1 hour and 17 minutes, they came to the vault. It was huge, monolithic, its gleaming steel walls stretching away in all directions for as far as the lights could penetrate the darkness. The instruments went crazy over it, even those that had been functioning up until then. The Wampir and the Marines hung back, somewhat reluctant to approach the vault now they'd finally reached it. It was too big, too vast for the human mind to comfortably encompass. Silence went up to it, Frost at his side. He reached out to touch the gleaming steel, and then hesitated at the last moment. It was as though there was a cold wind blowing constantly from the wall. He could feel it as a gentle pressure on his face. His reflection in the steel looked vague, distorted, like a ghost of himself. A premonition come back to warn him. He turned away from the wall.
Set up the force shield. Once we've opened this thing up, I don't want anything getting past us and out into the city.
The Marines came forward and bustled around setting up the force field generator, glad to be doing something they understood. It wasn't much of a generator, put together from parts they'd been carrying in their backpacks, but it would produce a force screen big enough to cover any hole they could hope to make in the vault wall. The last Marine finished his task with a little flourish,
and pressed the activating stud. A glowing force wall appeared, sealing off the team and their part of the wall from the rest of the city. They just had time to relax a little and look at each other confidently, and then the generator shorted out, and the force field collapsed. Smoke curled up from the generator, and a few of the braver Marines batted it aside with their hands as they looked the generator over, trying to figure out what had gone wrong. Frost looked at Silence.
Great start.
Can you fix it?
Silence said to the Marines.
Doesn't actually appear to be anything wrong with it. I think it's just being too close to the vault that did it. All my instruments are going crazy. The readings don't make any sense at all. But you can forget about the force shield. There's no way we can hope to fix this down here.
How about the tangle field? That uses a lot less energy.
The Marines stepped suddenly back from the generator. The solid frame was melting, running away in long, shallow streams of plasteel. Silence looked at it numbly. That stuff had a melting point in the thousands. Any heat strong enough to melt the plasteel should have been more than enough to reduce the entire team surrounding it to ashes. Frost stepped forward and prodded one of the melting streams with the tip of her sword. The steel tip steamed, but seemed unharmed. The investigator pulled back the sword and sniffed the point tentatively.
Interesting.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Not right now. I'm going to have to think about this.
Frost moved away, frowning thoughtfully.
You do that.
He looked back at the Marines.
Set up the disruptor cannon. Make sure you've got a good field of fire for the guns. Now it's more important than ever that nothing gets past us.
The Marines set to work again, assembling the cannon from their packs. Stelmach moved in beside Silence.
Do you really think they're going to work any better than the generator?
Silence shrugged.
Damned if I know, but they'd better, or we've come all this way for nothing. According to the first team's record, it's going to take both of those cannon to make a hole in that wall.
Frost moved back to rejoin them.
We don't know why some things work and some don't. We could lose anything at any time. Our guns, our lights.
Imagine being trapped down here in the dark.
Frost shrugged.
Wouldn't bother me.
No, thought Silence. I don't suppose it would at that. But even an investigator needs to breathe. Let's not panic ourselves, people. The first team had their difficulties, but it wasn't failing tech that killed them. The sleepers did that. At least we've got the Battle Espers and the Womp here, both of whose strengths are non-tech in origin. Speaking of which, Espers, get over here.
They drifted over to stand before him, dull-eyed and listless. Silence looked at them sternly.
I'm turning off the S-blockers. You're no use to me as you are now. Shield yourselves as best you can, but when we open up that wall, I want everything you've got trained on whatever comes out. Got it?
The Esper stared at him like children awaiting punishment. One of them looked at him with something like anger in his eyes.
You should never have brought us here, Captain. We don't belong here, any of us. It's not a human place, with human limitations. There are things out there in the darkness that we dare not look at. If you expose us to them, we'll die.
If you don't stop whining and get your act together, I'll kill you. You're Battle Espers, damn it. You're supposed to have been trained to handle things like this. Now brace yourselves.
He gestured to the Marines to turn off the S-blockers, and for a second nothing happened. And then the Esper who'd spoken took a deep breath and stepped back a pace. And his head exploded. Silence cried out in disgust and shock as blood and brains spattered his uniform. Another Esper began talking swiftly and urgently in a language no one recognized. The remaining Espers huddled together as though for comfort, eyes closed, concentrating all the power of their unusual minds to protect themselves. Silence felt something like guilt stirring within him, but pushed it aside. He didn't have time.
Are you stable now? Can we proceed with the mission?
The Espers nodded slowly in unison. One of them glared at Silence.
Do it. Do it while you still can. It knows we're here.
Silence turned to the Marines manning the two disruptor cannon. The gleaming solidity and power of the guns reassured him. There was enough power there to blast a hole through a starship's hull.
Everyone stand clear. On my order, fire both cannon. Now!
The two guns fired as one, the brilliant energy beams almost blinding in the gloom. crackling energy played across the steel wall of the vault without damaging it. And then slowly, a door opened in the wall, 20 feet high and a dozen wide, swinging reluctantly back as though the sheer pressure of the guns had forced it to reveal itself. The energy beam snapped off, and everyone stared breathlessly at the darkness beyond the door, now half ajar. Silence's hand tightened round his gun till his knuckles ached, bracing himself for a flood of ravening alien life. But there was nothing. Nothing at all. It was very quiet now that the cannon had stopped firing. The only sound was the massed breathing of the expectant contact team. And then a single alien leapt out of the doorway, and blood flew on the air as it tore into the team with an insane fury. It was huge and awful, but all Silence got was an impression of glistening scarlet armor and jagged steel teeth. It moved among them, fast as thought, ripping and tearing a path through the Marines with its teeth and claws, picking Marines up and throwing them away as though they were nothing. Everyone was firing their guns, but the alien was never where they aimed. It was huge and fast and deadly, and it seemed to be everywhere at once. Disruptor beams blazed across the narrow space, cutting down two Marines and one of the Wampir. And then the Battle Espers hit the creature with a wave of psychokinetic force, holding it in place through the sheer power of their minds. It looked like a nightmare in spiked blood-red armor, vaguely humanoid in form, its heart-shaped head lacking anything like a human face or expression. For a moment, everyone was still. And then the Wampir swarmed over the alien, trying to pull it down with their superior strength. But already the hold of the Espers was weakening. Without the S-blockers to protect them, the city was just too much to bear. The alien turned its inhuman head, and beams of crackling energy burst from its mouth and eyes, blowing people apart in sudden bloody explosions. It gestured sharply, and new spikes thrust out of its armor, transfixing the gripping Wampir. Black blood spurted from their mouths, but they didn't scream, and they wouldn't release their holds. Shrapnel exploded from the blood-red armor, blowing some of the Wampir away like bloody pincushions.
Mind burn the thing!
But the Espers couldn't hear Silence. Blood was running from their noses and ears and eyes, trickling down their straining faces like crimson tears, and their hold on the alien suddenly vanished. It shook off the remaining Wampir as though they were nothing. Frost stepped forward, took careful aim with her disruptor, and shot the creature in the head at point-blank range. The energy beam ricocheted from the scarlet armor and glanced off into the darkness, leaving the alien untouched. It took the last surviving Wampir in both hands, ripped off its head, and threw it away, and chewed at the bloody neck like a child with a treat. And then it turned and looked at Silence and Frost, standing together, and smiled a bloody smile, like a demon from some cybernetic hell. Silence glanced quickly about him. All the Wampir were dead, and Stelmach looked to be in shock. Only two of the Espers were still standing, and seven of the Marines. Silence felt sick. It didn't seem possible that so many could have been killed so quickly. Frost put away her gun and pulled an incendiary grenade from her belt. Silence put a restraining hand on her arm.
Use that grenade at this range and the backblast will fry all of us. Plus, there's no guarantee it would even work.
That ugly-looking bastard shrugged off energy beams easily enough.
Frost smiled briefly.
I was going to make him eat it.
Not a bad idea, but we still got one last card to play.
Stelmach! Time for that secret weapon of yours!
The security officer stared at him blankly, his eyes wide with shock. Silence cursed briefly. He started toward Stelmach, and the alien threw aside the Wampir body it was holding and started toward him with slow, almost casual steps. It knew he had nowhere to go. Silence fired his disruptor, aiming for the glowing eyes. The energy beam glanced harmlessly away. Frost hefted her grenade and lunged forward. The alien slapped her away with a backhand sweep of its overlong arm. She crashed into the steel wall of the vault and slumped dazed to the floor, the grenade falling unactivated from her hand. Silence gripped his sword fiercely. The alien's smile seemed very wide and very bloody. And then Stelmach activated his secret weapon. And everything slowed right down. A glowing golden field formed around the alien, and it froze in its tracks, mouth still stretched in a crimson grin. A draining cold surged through Silence's bones, and it took all his strength to move away. His thoughts grew slow and sluggish, and then he had Frost by the arm and was dragging her clear off the field. After a moment, she was able to help him, and the two of them stumbled back to join Stelmach by his quietly humming machine. Life quickly came back to them, and Silence nodded to the security officer.
I'm glad I brought you along after all. What the hell is that device?
Stasis projector. Puts anything into stasis from practically any distance. Eats up power like crazy, but this was pretty much point blank.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the whole point of a stasis field was that you couldn't project it. You set it up where you need it and then turn it on or off.
Not anymore.
And how come that projector's working when nothing else is?
This little beauty is based on different technology. The same technology that produced the new star drive. Need I say more? No, I didn't think so. Apparently this technology is somewhat sturdier than our own. Perhaps even compatible. Even so, I recommend we get the alien upstairs and under wraps as quickly as possible, just in case.
Hold on just a minute. Why didn't you use the damn thing the moment the alien appeared, instead of waiting till most of us were dead?
Right. Basically, the techs who provided me with this device weren't actually 100% sure it would work. In fact, they seemed to think there was a small but significant chance that the whole thing could detonate rather dramatically once it was turned on, which is why I put off using it until I absolutely had to.
No wonder they wouldn't tell me what it was. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have let it on board my ship. Ah, hell. The alien's all yours. Get it out of my sight.
Stelmach manipulated the controls of his projector, and the alien floated slowly forward, hovering barely an inch above the floor, buoyed up by the stasis field. The security officer moved cautiously forward, steering the alien ahead of him, and the two of them disappeared into the darkness that led back to the surface. Silence gestured for four Marines to go after Stelmach and his prize, and then looked around to see how many of his people had survived the alien's attack. He was saddened, but not surprised to find he had only two more Marines and one Esper left in his team. Everyone else was dead, their bloody remains scattered before the opening in the vault wall. He shook his head slowly. So many dead, just to capture one of the creatures. The thought took hold of him suddenly, and he took a step toward the door in the wall. This time, Frost grabbed him by the arm.
Way ahead of you, Captain. Now that the vault's opened, where are all the other sleepers? Even so, I don't think just casually walking into the vault to take a look is a good idea.
All right. What do you suggest?
We've got one Esper left. Let him work for his pay.